The Voices Dot Earth podcast series is brought to you by the Dot Earth Domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing Dot Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Brendan Richardson, CEO and co-founder of Astreya, which is an intelligent platform that empowers corporations, organizations, and individuals to easily access, analyze, and extract actionable insights for our planet. And Brendan, how are you doing today?
I'm great. It's great to be here, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Yeah, no, great to have you. And let's start at the top. Tell us about Astreya, the company's history, mission, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so Astreya is a startup. We're based in Charlottesville, Virginia. We're 14 people now, and we got started about 2 years ago. And we got started around an idea, like most startups do, and we've spent the last 2 years executing on that idea. And the idea is basically this, that unbeknownst to a big chunk of the public, one of the biggest and most interesting data sets on the planet is about the planet itself. And that's about 200 plus petabytes of data of Earth observing satellite imagery. And you might wonder, you know, who, what, question mark. Since 1972, when the first Landsat satellite went up, NASA and, you know, over time, NOAA and the USGS and the European Space Agency, Japanese Space Agency have been collecting Earth observing satellite imagery from the satellites they put up for very mission specific operations. And all of that data, also usually unknown to the public, is free and publicly available. It's not easy to access, but it is free. You don't have to pay for those pixels. It's basically public property. And increasingly, there are private satellite operators that are putting up constellations for other specific data uses and purposes. Digital Globe, Airbus, Planet, Satellogic, and increasingly more and more of these companies are venture-backed and putting up CubeSats, small satellites. So the amount of data about the Earth from space is exploding. And our hypothesis when we started Astreya was that this 200 petabyte data set that grows by 50 terabytes every day is the sum knowledge that we have about what is happening and what has happened on the planet. And most of us at Astreya are actually data scientists and software developers. And so we've spent the bulk of our careers extracting insight from data, usually for Fortune 50 or 500 corporate clients that have their own data sets or have access to data and are trying to make sense of that for their own business purposes. And so we looked at that huge data set and what it represented and thought, man, machine learning and predictive analytics applied to that data set should yield some amazing insights and answers to some of the biggest problems and questions we're trying to solve about the planet, about humanity, about the interaction between human systems and natural systems on the planet. And if we're lucky and we're smart and persistent, maybe we can begin to solve some of these things like climate change or understand them better so that we can begin to mitigate them, or sustainable agriculture as we need to feed, you know, not 7 billion, but 10 billion and eventually 15 or 20 billion people on the planet. Those answers are going to come from understanding things at a global scale, but at a granular level. And we think what we're building at Astreya is the tool to be able to help people to do that.
That's awesome. What a great rundown there, Brendan. And I think you're really hitting on a sweet spot there that's needed in the marketplace. And I appreciate you educating our listeners about just the vast amount of Earth observation data that is out there. It's unbelievable.
Truly outstanding. Yeah.
It really is. And that just plays perfectly into the next question. Would love to hear more about your products and solutions, because you mentioned machine learning and would love to hear more about your solution.
Yeah. So machine learning is a, you know, a hot topic, and, you know, machine learning slash AI, which often get conflated in the media, but the, you know, machine learning is the technology that enables AI or artificial intelligence. And machine learning really just a class of algorithms that do not need to be programmed specifically for an outcome, but get applied to a very large data set and learn essentially and extract insights through learning. And we started using machine learning on this data set back when we started the company in 2016 and quickly realized, like anybody that deals with this data, it's not easy to do. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But, you know, the short version is that this data is highly dimensional. It's not easy to access, even if it's free. And it's huge. You might be looking at a single scene from a satellite, and that image, that single image, could be a terabyte or more. And as you get more and more spatial resolution, spectral resolution, and if you want to do things over time, temporal resolution, that data that you're processing and computing on can quickly scale from terabytes even into petabytes for a single problem that you're trying to solve. So there's a lot of challenges in extracting insight and information from this data. And people do it. NASA does it all the time. Companies do it. But it takes a lot of people, a lot of expertise, and a lot of time and effort, and which all translates into cost. And as data scientists and software developers, we looked at that and the difficulty of doing it ourselves and thought, man, you know what the world needs? The world doesn't need another company trying to come up with a new way to use this data. The world needs a better tool for everybody to begin to apply to this data and extract insights. And so that's what we embarked on pretty quickly after we started the company. The result of that is now our platform called Earth AI. And we believe it's the first fully integrated geospatial machine learning platform that allows you to identify the sources of data, whether it's from NASA or a private operator like Planet or Airbus, ingest that, or multiple ones, ingest that data, fuse it, spatially join it, make it available into this suite of tools that we have that are machine learning tools and algorithms and models that we've built, and the tools that allow you to train your own models on that data, create the insight, productionize that insight, meaning apply it across the entire data set that you're working with, because you don't train a model on the entire data set. You train a machine learning model on a small set of that data, apply it, productionize it, and then output it in a way that humans can interpret and understand. That's usually a visualization in some map form through an Esri or a QGIS-like product, but make it real and available for other people to take action on. So our platform handles all of that complexity quite easily for somebody that is not an expert in any one of those areas.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing stuff right there. And I think the flow of this conversation is perfect, because when it comes to applications, I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't even realize the vast amount. I know historically the defense and intelligence arena was kind of like the geospatial spot. Location is everything in that arena. But now geospatial data and analytics can be used in everything: energy, NGOs, smart cities, oil and gas, the list goes on and on. So I would love to hear from
you. It's almost infinite. Yeah.
So I'd love to hear from your take, from Astraea. Like, what are some of the markets that you're going after, and what are some of the sweet spots?
Yeah. So, you know, one challenge for any startup that has a wide breadth of opportunity to go after is, you know, you can't chase everything. You've got to focus, and you've got to focus on something that is near enough and accessible enough that you can actually get some traction and leads to enough of a market that you can sustain on, and then go after other things that are adjacent or orthogonal as time goes on. And so we face the same challenge. You know, we spent the last 2 years imagining all the kind of ways that you could use this data and observe other people doing some really cool stuff. So where we've ended up, at least for the time being, is we spend a lot of time with customers that are either NGOs or look like NGOs, large foundations or organizations or corporations that are trying to solve global scale problems. So one example is one of our largest customers is a very large foundation, probably recognizable to your listeners, although we're not at liberty to disclose it, that thinks about global problems. And one of those global problems that they're trying to solve is climate change, which is, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of interconnected problems. But because it's climate change, it's understanding the problem at global scale is key. So what we do are a lot of things on behalf of that foundation, using our tool to track deforestation. This is a common use case for satellite imagery. We do that as well in the tropical rainforest, but also, and more interestingly, in the boreal forest. And the boreal forest doesn't get a lot of media attention because it's low on biodiversity, unlike the tropical rainforest. But more interestingly, the boreal forest is the largest land store of CO2 and greenhouse gases. And by some estimates, the boreal forest contains or sequesters more CO2 than the temperate and rainforest combined. And so from a climate change perspective, it's a critical asset and not well understood. And we are applying a machine learning model on some ground truth data coming out of Finland that helps us understand the health, but also the change over time of the boreal forest. And you can look at that weekly, monthly, daily, but also back in time. And so applying this model across the entire boreal band around the globe, and particularly in places where there is not a lot of information, i.e. Russia. Canada's got quite a bunch of information and data about the health of their boreal forest, but we don't get a lot of insight from Russia. And this model is basically extracting that insight from satellite data so we can better understand what's happening at large scale with this forest asset that is so critical to helping us mitigate climate change.
That's awesome. You know, I'm going to go off script here for a second here. So, you know, you're coming out of the gates working on projects and programs that, like you, I think you mentioned this at the top of the podcast here, can tremendously benefit the future of humanity. That's awesome. That's just got to feel good. Like you're bringing a new innovation out to the marketplace, but the application is not just for the sole purpose of making money. I mean, obviously you want it to be profitable, but the applications are phenomenal.
We think so. And, you know, again, we're a startup, and so we have principles and we want to adhere to those principles, but we also want to survive. And as you mentioned, still to date, the biggest customer set for geospatial data is the U.S. government, and in particular, the DOD and the intelligence community. And there's a lot of applications that are super important in those spheres that matter. And I think, you know, eventually we will also be vendors into those sectors because the tool helps image analysts and geospatial analysts become vastly more efficient at processing imagery that is mission specific or mission focused. In the meantime, you know, the UN intergovernmental report about climate change and the difference between a 1.5 and 2.0 Celsius temperature rise and how critical that is has just come out. And it's really, no pun intended, lit a fire under lots and lots and lots of folks that care about climate change and particularly funders of climate change mitigation. And so I think we're going to see in the next 2 to 3 years a lot of private organizations, i.e. non-government NGOs, rise up and begin to really focus on addressing these problems because it's clear that governments are either incapable of or unwilling to take this on. And I think for the time being, that's going to be our focus because there's just so much to do and people are willing to try new tools. And we think, you know, we're going to be an interesting tool to help a lot of different groups and organizations around the globe begin to extract answers around this stuff and hopefully inspire or force governments to follow. We'll see. But we're trying to arm the folks on the front lines in this battle against rising temperatures on the planet. And then a whole bunch of adjacent things around that. So renewable energy is a very fast growing industry globally, particularly in the US, and solar in particular is really fast growing. I think the latest number I saw is that the number of solar farm installations in the US is growing about 40% year over year, which is phenomenal. Still a small part of the energy portfolio in the US, but growing at 5 or 6 times the rate of any other part of that mix. And so fast, in fact, that nobody at any given time actually knows how many solar farms are out there in the US. And this is a country that has more data about this than any other place on the planet. And so we're using satellite imagery for a couple of clients and building an information product ourselves that in real time, or let's say daily or weekly temporal scale, can detect the presence of not just the existing solar farms, but new solar farms that are being installed. And we're going to train that model on US data and apply that to other parts of the planet where there is no data. South America, solar is growing incredibly fast. Europe, incredibly fast. And Asia, China, actually even faster. And getting a handle on how fast that's growing is something that people are really interested in. So another application of the platform that is kind of right in the middle of our sweet spot and wheelhouse.
That's great. Wow. Really good stuff there. And I'm going to shift gears for a second here, if you don't mind. And obviously your website is astraea.earth. You all are .earth domain name users. Why did you all choose a .earth domain name?
Well, it goes back to the original name, Astraea, which, you know, people have a hard time pronouncing when they first see it, but you got it right on the first try. So congratulations.
Thank you.
That's uncommon. But you know, the name Astraea is actually tied to Greek mythology. And there are different versions of this story, but Astraea was historically the last goddess on Earth that had not left either for Mount Olympus or in other tellings of the myth for the heavens. And when she left, she did so because mankind had descended into fighting and chaos. And she left the Earth, but promised to watch over mankind from the heavens and return at some point to usher in a new golden age for humanity. When humankind finally got their act together, Astraea was going to return to Earth, and that was going to be the advent of a new golden age for mankind. And so it seemed apt and relevant for what we were trying to do, i.e. using Earth-observing satellite imagery to watch the Earth, to monitor the Earth. And hopefully, if we can apply this machine learning expertise and this tool set to extracting insights that help the planet, save the planet, that maybe we can be a small part of ushering in that new golden age for mankind and steer away from the iceberg, as it were, of climate change and the disasters that we're all starting to witness on a more frequent basis.
Wow, that is so awesome. I mean, talk about like a branding win right there. I didn't realize the name Astraea came from Greek mythology there. To tie it all back to not only Earth observation, but providing the data and the insights to really alter and save where we are right now and hopefully usher in that golden age. That's incredible.
We're working on it. You know, we're 14 people, but hopefully the tool that we've built is going to enable 14,000 or 14 million people to start working on these things. And together with the right tools, we're confident that we can certainly make a big difference.
It's outstanding. And that's a perfect segue into my next question is, what does the future hold for Astraea? What's your long-term vision?
Well, it's a great question. So we've got a small set of customers, super devoted, but obviously we need to grow that customer base and get the word out. We're raising our next round of finance now to basically fuel that sales and marketing effort and that business development effort. The tool is built. We're releasing it in January in full beta. And the next 24 months are really going to be about getting it into as many hands as possible, both organizations and individuals, to start applying it and answering these questions. Eventually, we'd like, the goal for the company is to be a platform company with customers that are using this data every day in whatever they do, whether it's climate change mitigation or just making their business operations vastly more efficient. At the top of the podcast, I mentioned understanding the interface between human and natural systems, super critical. And if you think about, you know, another big sector that's been backed by lots of venture capital money in the last 5 or 6 years, it's the Internet of Things. And the premise of the Internet of Things is that if you sensor systems, human systems, and you understand that data, that machine learning, AI, can make those systems vastly more efficient. We're really trying to do that for the planet. We're trying to understand the planet at global scale, at planetary scale. And you might think of the platform as, instead of the Internet of Things, the foundation for the Internet of Earth. Understanding the Earth and all the data that we collect about the planet and making that accessible and analyzable by anybody that cares to look at it and apply it to their own needs or answer questions that previously were unanswerable. That's the big vision for the company. And, you know, we've got a long way to go. We're 14 people, but you know, at the end of this, I think we'd all love to say that we played a small part in making the planet a much more livable place for everybody and a much more sustainable ecosystem. And not to get too corny about it, but to usher in that golden age where we truly are a sustainable system at a planetary scale.
That's awesome. An Internet of Earth. I've never heard that before. That's awesome. Did you just come up with that right now, Brendan, by chance?
Not just off the top of the head. It's not something we talk about publicly, but we do talk about that internally. I put it in a few investor slides. It doesn't really resonate yet with VCs, but maybe at the next round. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really cool stuff. So this has been a wonderful podcast, and I know we've covered off on a lot of things, but before we sign off, is there anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
Well, as you know, I think there's going to be a lot more interest in understanding everything that's happening on the planet at granular scale. Earth observing satellite data is one way to do that. But that's just the start, right? All of this data that's being collected from aerial platforms, from drones, in fact, all feed into this knowledge base that we're trying to leverage better. And I think I would just say, you know, check out our website. When the tool gets released, the platform gets released in beta, We encourage anybody to come and start working with this data and this set of capabilities for whatever questions you have about how to make the planet a better place. And hopefully we're going to enable an army of people to solve these problems, not just rely on one or two, or, you know, frankly, rely on governments, because I think it's pretty clear now that we can't rely on governments to solve these kind of things. We've got to take it into our own hands and do it. So thanks for the time. It's been great to sit here and talk about this.
Absolutely. And that's a perfect way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Brendan Richardson, CEO and co-founder of Astraea, which is an intelligence platform that empowers corporations, organizations, and individuals to easily access, analyze, and extract actionable insights about our planet. And Brendan, thank you so much for your time today.
Matt, thank you. We really appreciate the opportunity to chat and super excited about what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.